Looks like Google woke up and decided, hey, isn't 2025 the year of agents, AI agents? It should be us everybody thinks about when they think of agents, because yesterday they announced a couple of AI agent related products, services, things. For example, Agent Space, which is a product, a hub as they describe it, for enterprises that enables them to connect various data sources to various agents and search them, work on them with help of AI. They also announced the Agent Development Kit, an SDK, a Python SDK, which you can use to build agentic applications in code, essentially an alternative to LangGraph, LangChain, I guess. And for good measure, they also announced Firebase Studio, which is not really about agents, but of course also related to AI, since it is essentially an alternative to V0 or Lovable. So an AI-powered application, web application creator, where you can use natural language to have it build applications for you. But they also announced the A2A protocol, the agent-to-agent protocol. And that's what I want to take a closer look at in this episode. So what's the A2A protocol all about? Well, it's about connecting different agents, as the name suggests, I guess. Because Google thinks, and I guess many people think, and it probably is not unlikely, that we'll enter a future where we have all these smart AI agents, AI-powered applications in the end, that may be running on your computer, your server, the server owned by your company, or some other server. These agents may run everywhere, and the idea is that every agent has its own specialization, you could say. You could have one agent that's great at retrieving documents, another agent that's great at summarizing documents, a third agent that is great at interacting with humans and writing human-friendly reports, and so on. You could have agents for everything, essentially. And it's of course quite likely that for many tasks, many requests you as a user, as a human, might have, one agent is not enough to fulfill that task or to complete it. Now, of course, you could say, well, why we don't just build one agent that's able to do it all? Well, because at least right now, that seems unlikely to work that well. And I guess probably also in the future, because even before agents, we had lots of specialized applications for different tasks, right? We don't have one application that does it all for plenty of reasons. Complexity is one reason, security could be another reason, lock-in could be yet another reason. So there are reasons why we distribute tasks across different applications. And with agents, it's essentially the same, though there we also have more reasons to split tasks and have specialized agents, because since, for example, we're of course using AI models to power these agents, and different models are good at different things, having one agent do everything would also mean that we need to compromise on the model we're using. And it's of course better to have a specialized, let's say, coding agent that uses an AI model that's really great at coding, and have a specialized report agent that is using an AI model that's great at writing reports. Especially if you also take fine-tuning into account and so on. So that's why we will likely end up in a future where we have multiple agents working together. Though, of course, more than one agent could be maintained by you. You could absolutely build multi-agent systems locally on your machine or on a server you own. And when I say multiple agents, I don't necessarily mean agents created by other companies or providers, though that, of course, is definitely also something that will probably become reality in the future, that you have different services by different companies that you can use for different tasks. And that's now again where the A2A protocol comes into play. Because you can of course already connect agents by manually writing the code to wire them up, or by manually setting up the connections, let's say. Of course, you don't have to write the code. You could be using a tool like N8N to set up AI agents and AI workflows. And you could connect multiple agents there as well, but you would be doing that manually, and it would all be in your application. You would be controlling everything there. The idea behind the A2A protocol is that you have independent agents that can and very likely will be published by different people, different companies, so you don't control and own them all. But since you have the standardization regarding their communication, you can still connect them all to one bigger system. And even better than that, you can just make your application, your AI agent, aware of the potential other agents it may use, and it can then pick and use the one that's most appropriate for a certain task, and it does that totally on its own. That's the idea behind the A2A protocol. And of course, that's kind of related to the MCP, the Model Context Protocol, that was introduced by Anthropic a couple of months ago. However, there is a difference. At least Google says there is a difference. And they say that A2A is meant to be complementary to the MC protocol, the MCP, the Model Context Protocol. Now, it's up to you whether you believe this or not, and I guess only time will tell if in the future we have both protocols, or only one of them, or none of them, which is all equally likely, I'd say. But it kind of makes sense to use both together, I guess, because the A2A protocol is for connecting different agents, where every agent might be good at doing one or more tasks. The Model Context Protocol is good at exposing tools to a single agent in a standardized way, and it therefore helps with easily installing or adding more tools to an agent. So therefore, you could have multiple agents, Agent A and Agent B, for example, where every agent has various tools, and if one agent doesn't have the tool to do a certain thing on its own, it might reach out to another agent, and that would happen with help of A2A. Now, of course, you could say, why don't we just build one huge agent that's able to do it all and that has all the tools it needs? And that is something that will definitely happen, I would guess. I guess in general, we'll see all kinds of approaches and patterns, also because this is all super new. We don't know how the world will look like in 1 year or two and what will be the new hot topic then. But I guess it makes sense to have specialized agents just, as I mentioned before, as we have specialized applications today, totally without AI and agents, for a plethora of reasons. For example, if I'm building an agent and that agent needs to be able to interact with GitHub, let's say, of course I could use the GitHub MCP, but I could also instead connect it to the GitHub agent, which might be better suited to perform GitHub-related tasks, because it does not just have the tools to interact with the GitHub API in the end, but because it might also be fine-tuned for GitHub-specific tasks. So the AI model that's powering the agent might be optimized for dealing with GitHub and dealing with code. That could be one reason for using another agent instead of a tool. But again, I guess we'll see all kinds of approaches and use cases. It depends on what your agent should be capable of doing and many, many other factors. This is all brand new and we don't know what the future will look like, as I said. Let's zoom in a bit. Let's take a closer look at the A2A protocol and how it works, because it includes a couple of important building blocks. And it all starts with discoverability, because in order for agents to communicate with each other, and in order for an agent to be able to choose with which other agent it wants to communicate, each agent needs to describe itself. And that's done with help of an agent card, which is a JSON document in the end that's exposed on the agent's server, for example, that describes the capabilities of an agent, that describes whether authentication is needed, and if yes, how that authentication should work, and which extra communication mechanisms are available, something like server sent events or push notifications. And I'll get back to that. So that helps agents understand what other agents can do and when they might want to use these agents. Now let's say our agent now determines that it wants to communicate with some other agent because we, the human, gave our agent a task or a request that needs our agent to reach out to another agent to complete that task. And due to the agent card of that other agent, our agent determined that other agent is helpful for completing that task. Now, as a first step, our agent might need to authenticate itself with that other agent if that agent requires it. The idea here is that our agent application, it's still an application in the end, therefore obtains the credentials that are needed as per the description in that agent card. So if that other agent requires a session token, our agent would go to the provider of that session token, which also needs to be declared by that other agent, and get such a session token. And then it can send a request with that session token attached to that other agent to confirm that it's now authenticated. Now, besides potentially required authentication credentials, the client, so our agent with which we communicated, for example, sends a task description to that other agent. And that task description, besides some metadata, like a session ID, also includes a message. And that message, in turn, describes that task in the end. It's made up of multiple parts, where every part could either be text or also something like a file, an image, for example, if that's needed. And then that receiving agent will decide what to do with that task. It can either complete it immediately, it can schedule it for later, it can reject it, and so on. Now, if it is a task that can be completed immediately and that does not take very long, the client can simply wait for the response to be sent back, and that response will include the completed task, which again includes a message with multiple parts, which could be text that's generated by that other agent, and also maybe files that were generated by that other agent, depending on the task that was completed. Now, certain tasks may also take longer, potentially even days, depending on the task. And of course, the idea therefore is not to have one HTTP request that's pending for multiple days. Instead, the idea simply is that the task is sent from the client to the other agent, that other agent tells the client that the task is scheduled, and the client is done for the moment. Now, the client could then, for example, poll for updates periodically, every hour or so, to find out if the server is done. But even better than that, agent servers, which, just to make that very clear, are still applications built by humans, configured by other companies, those servers could also support push notifications, for example. And that is information that would be published in that agent card. Now, if an agent server does support push notifications, it lets the client know about that. And therefore, a push notification will simply be sent to some URL that is provided by the client that receives that notification. And that notification would be sent when the task is done. So then it would be the job of the client application to handle such an incoming push notification, validate it, and then let that client agent know that the task is done, and then that client agent could reach out to the other agent, get that latest task status, the produced results for that task, and continue on its own. Alternatively, agent servers could also support server sent events, which in the end means that the server can on its own publish updates to a task and send that to the client so that the client gets notified about updates and potential completion of a task. That would be another mechanism. And it's up to the developers of these agents and these agent applications and these servers that expose these agents to other agents to decide which capabilities their agents should have and how updates should be delivered to other agents. That is why it's a protocol. It defines a set of things agents should publish about themselves so that other agents can understand how they may interact with those other agents. Of course, that does not mean that all agents have to support all potential features and capabilities. It really comes down to the developers of these agents, but since we have a protocol, there is a standardized way of describing potential communication mechanisms, for example, and that then allows the different agents to communicate with each other appropriately. And that's it for the A2A protocol in a nutshell. Now, I will say that Google actually also published example applications in Python and JavaScript that show you how such a client agent and a server agent could be built and could communicate with each other. And it's also super important to realize that just like MCP, this is all very new and under active development. The protocol may change in the future, the way it's used may change in the future, and Google actively mentions that it's essentially a draft and that it's up for discussion and that things will evolve and probably change in the future to some extent. And of course, in general, it's not clear if we will really enter such an agent-driven future, but that is definitely a topic for a different episode. Now, let me know what you think about this new protocol, about all this agent stuff, and hopefully this video was helpful to you.